Gosh, it's good to be back in this sanctuary. Our first reading for today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read today from the Message translation. The earlier revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who then puts everything right for those who trust him to do it. Moses wrote that anyone who insists on using the law code to live right before God soon discovers it's not so easy. Every detail of life regulated by fine print. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah, no dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master. Embracing, body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Our second reading comes from Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors saying, "Celebrate with me. I've found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her neighbors. "Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin." Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Then Jesus said, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to feel it. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All of those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. His son started his speech, "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We are going to feast. We are going to have a wonderful time. My son is here. Given up for dead and now alive. Given up for lost and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. The word of the Lord.
It's not always our tradition here to say that, but I think we should. Sometimes in churches, people say the word of the Lord, and the response is, "Thanks be to God." So let's try that. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Scripture says they began to have a wonderful time. And we're getting to have a wonderful time. A coin was found then. Eight coins are being found today. One sheep was found by its shepherd then. Eight sheep have been rescued by their shepherd today. And eight sons and daughters are being welcomed home by their father as they come to be baptized and to reaffirm their baptism today. Before we get to that, though, I just look around for a minute. Literally, where you're sitting, I want you to look around. It's a good sight, isn't it? I am so glad that you're here. And for those of you who are live streaming today, I am so glad that you are here. It's been a year, right? I know we're Presbyterians, but let me hear you a little bit. It's been a year. It's been a year. It's been hard. It's been a hard year. But even in the midst of that, what I feel in my heart as I look at your faces and as I can't see the faces who are worshiping at home, but I know you're there, what fills my heart most of all is deep, deep gratitude. Gratitude for you, for sticking with us, for being the church in such beautiful, incredible ways in this past year. It's been phenomenal. I was telling one of my neighbors, a person who's not a part of our church, how generous you've been. How active you've been, how much good you have done with and for Jesus in this past year. But it's been hard. So I'm so grateful for whatever is coming next, for I know that as God has blessed us in this past year, God is going to continue to bless us, in us and through us in the year to come. And this is just a good day to mark and celebrate what has been and what is yet to come. So thank you. Thank you to you, and thank you most of all to God. We're finishing out this week and next our series that we've been in the Apostles' Creed all this winter. And we began that series with a simple question. We asked, what does it mean to be a Christian? Right? A lot of people would define that in different ways. They say to be a Christian, well, it means to believe certain things. Or to be a Christian, that means to behave in certain ways. Or to be a Christian, that really, it just means you belong to a certain group. And while all three of those things are true, being a Christian means you believe certain things. That's what we've been studying in the Apostles' Creed. Being a Christian has things we say, okay, we do behave in certain ways, and certainly we want everyone to belong to a feel like they're part of a community. None of those things are really at the core what it means to be a Christian. What we said then at the beginning of this series and what we say and proclaim and are going to live out today is truly at its most basic, most important, most fundamental level is what it means to be a Christian is to experience grace. A Christian is a person who has experienced grace. And today, as we celebrate this gift of baptism, we recognize that baptism is always an expression of God's grace. We are saved not by our own merits or effort, but by the God who seeks us, the God who finds us, the God who cleans us up and welcomes us home with a party. In baptism, we recognize that God says yes to us first, and that we're simply, when we're baptized, we reaffirm that baptism, we're simply saying yes back. But what we're saying yes to is what God has already done, what God has yet to do in us and through us, starting now and on into eternity. So what's a Christian? A Christian is simply a person who has said yes to that offer and experience of God's grace in Jesus Christ. So I could say more. You know I could say more. I always have lots to say, but I'm not going to today, because the people who are coming to be baptized and to reaffirm their baptism, they say it so much better. They're going to tell each one of them their own story of the ways that they have been given the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ, and that they're saying yes to that today.
My name is Nate Roberts Clapper. I'm in ninth grade and I go to Upper Marion. I guess I started coming to here in third grade, and then I started making friends with like everyone in the class there. And then I went to youth group and went on the retreats and had like a lot of fun. So then I started coming a lot more. And then I started learning a lot more about God. And then after that, I was pretty sure I wanted to become like a bigger part of the church and start coming more. I feel like a lot of people like taught me a lot and then made me want to come to church more. Like definitely Daryl and Bill and like some of my Sunday school teachers too made me want to come back to church, because I wasn't really into it back when I went to the old church and then I started coming here. Yeah, I usually felt like I experienced God when I went on the retreats. Sometimes when I think it was the breakaway one, we went like to the beach and then we all talked about him there. So I felt him there. It made me feel probably like loved. Well, I definitely want it to happen, become like more part of the church, I guess.
So Nathan and whoever you have with you, you can come on forward. Nate, I love how you put that at that retreat you felt loved. When we feel loved like that, that is a sign of the presence of Jesus in our lives. So as you come forward and say yes to the God who has said yes to you, I have some questions for you. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in this world? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
And do you trust in him with all your heart?
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
Let's pray together. You guys can come lay hands and pray with me. God, thank you for Nathan. Thank you for the story of his life, that you have loved him from the moment he was born, that you made your love known to him as a child, and that he is saying yes to that love now as he grows into a young man. Pour your blessing on this water, that it may be through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sign and seal to him that he is your child forever. Amen. Nathan Roberts Clapper, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are sealed as God's beloved child and called to be Christ's disciple from this day on and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome Nathan into our family of faith.
My name is AJ Carroll. I'm in the 10th grade at Conestoga, and I like to play hockey. I like to play video games. The reason I wanted to get baptized, me and my parents were talking about this. I just felt like the religion, the whole church kind of group, the whole church family, was one of the only truly like positive places. You go pretty much anywhere else and you see all this negativity and stuff and all these places that sometimes don't want you. And like, you never ever are told like, we don't want you here. And so being a part of that is really nice. And if somewhere else were to have a community like that, I'd join that community too. But this community is really good. And I mean, the leader of it, God, he's also really good. I didn't really like know too much about him until 6th grade, maybe, is when I started going to youth group. And then I just did confirmation last year. And that was when I was like actually learning about God, like actively. It was pretty, I guess, eye-opening. It's like, there's so many things that like a surface level person wouldn't really know about God. And you get to learn all this stuff, and it's really crazy, like, how much these things that you think would never, well, could never have happened, and they did happen, and it really lets you believe in God's word, I guess. We never chose to have me baptized as a kid, and I would like people to know that I want to be a follower of God. And I want to have a good, strong relationship with him. And I think this is probably the best way to do that. So I'm going to do it.
AJ, I invite you and your family to come and join us here in the front. Stand right over here. It's wonderful to hear that commitment to faith, that desire to be a part of the community of faith, and to see and to experience and to witness to the work that God has done in your life. And so we are grateful for this opportunity today for you to publicly affirm and confirm what God has done in your life. And so we just have a few questions for you today. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in this world? Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
And do you trust him with all of your heart?
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will. God's
help. Okay. And I want to invite the family to come and lay hands on AJ. Lord God, we are grateful today for the ways that you have called and the ways that you've been at work in AJ's life. Thank you for the ways that he has responded to that and expressed his desire to be a follower of yours and to publicly proclaim that to this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would use this day as a marker in his life, as a seal in his life, as a way for him to look back and to recognize that you continue to work in and through him this day and each day into the future. Thank you for his commitment today, and thank you for the ways that you continue to call him to your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, AJ, if you can come this way. Anderson John Carroll, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You're called this day and sealed by the Holy Spirit, following the path that God has before you, and given the invitation to be a disciple of Jesus Christ this day and each day forward. Amen. Amen. We welcome you to the family of faith today.
name's Jennifer Carroll. My husband Jeremy and I joined Paoli Presbyterian a few years ago with our kids AJ and Lauren, who are now 13 and 16 years old. And I work at a nonprofit foundation, helping make grants to nonprofits in the community. I grew up going to a Presbyterian church here and there, pretty inconsistently as a child. And as I got older, my husband and I explored a few different church communities. And really, when we found Paoli Presbyterian, we felt like that was the right one for our family and for our kids. So we've been coming a few years now. And throughout the process of Becca and Dave and Jonathan taking us through this baptism journey, they really helped us see where God has been present in our lives. And for me, I really saw that it was at all of the really key decisions in my life and all of those turning points where you're not really sure why you made the decision you did, but looking back, you realize that it was really God leading you to where you need to be in your life. One of the stories where I feel like God really intervened in my life is when I met my husband, and he lived in Texas and I lived in New Jersey, and we had to figure out how this was going to work. And there came a time when I made the decision to move to be with him and try to give this a shot. And at the time, and looking back now, 25 years later, we still don't know why we knew to make that decision or what made me make that decision. But the only reason, it has to be that God just knew that I should be there. We still say that our story is the most unlikely of stories, but it just works perfectly, and I'm so thankful that it all worked out like it did. And I know that it had to be God present in my life to help me get to that point. After my mom passed away, I spent many years and a lot of times where I was very sad and missing her. And there were moments when I would be upset and crying, and I would just feel almost like someone consoling me and someone helping me stop the tears. And I know that that was my mom there with me, but also that was God really telling me it was okay to stop crying at that moment. Being baptized is something I always thought about, and it just never took the step, but I do think it's an important step to show that you're committing to have God in your life. And so this just feels like the right moment. My son is being baptized also, so it feels like the right time for us to make that commitment, and hopefully for me personally, but for our whole family, to just commit to having faith in God as a part of our life.
Carroll family gets to come on back. Jen, I love that witness in your life that when we have no idea that God is there, that doesn't mean he's not. In fact, he is so very present at every moment. And I love the gift that God has given you to be able to look back and see his guiding, loving hand through your whole life, leading up to this point and leading from this point on. So as you make this choice today to be baptized, we have questions for you as well. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you?
I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
And do you trust in him with all your heart?
I do.
Jen, will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
I will.
Invite your family to come and pray with us. God, thank you for this family that you have knit together in such an unlikely story. Thank you for the call that you have placed on Jen's life to say yes to you, to recognize the ways that you have led her and loved her up to this day, and you will lead her and love her from each day on. Lord, may this be a moment in her life that she can always look back on and say, yes, Jesus was there. And may she be filled with your Holy Spirit and guided into the new seasons you have for her yet to come. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jennifer Lauren Carroll, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit, claimed as God's beloved child, and called to be Christ's disciple from this day on and forevermore. Amen. Let's welcome Jen.
My name is Jill Gallagher, and my family includes my husband, Tom. I have an almost 7-year-old son, Noah, and we've been coming to Paley Presbyterian for about 3 years, and we became official members a little more than a year ago. Tom and I met a little bit later in life. We were in our mid-30s, and I knew right away, Tom was a lifelong Christian, and it was his faith was very important to him, and I admired that and sort of watched him practice his faith. And I did not grow up with a lot of organized religion and faith in my childhood and early adult years, so I came to sense God's presence from the people around me in my life who did have faith. Tom was attending a church in Westchester, and I started going with him, and it was very welcoming to people of all walks of life who weren't necessarily raised in the church. So I felt a little more comfortable, and usually during the service, one of the pastors would offer the invitation to give your life to Christ. And on one of those occasions, I just felt called to do it, and I said the prayer. Once I gave my life to Christ about 10 years ago, I increasingly felt God's presence in my life. I felt his presence in the quiet moments of joy, such as seeing my newly conceived baby's heartbeat on a monitor at a fertility clinic. And also when I needed him to hold me up during the more painful moments of my life, like when I held both of my parents' hands in the same cancer wing 10 months apart as they each passed away. After the tears had passed, I felt a sense of calm that God was with me. I wanted to take the next step, committing myself to God and doing it in a public way to make myself more accountable. It's great to be a Christian in your heart, but I think it's important to make a statement to God that you're willing to show other people and express your love publicly in front of other people.
Jill and your family, come on up here. Thank you for sharing so warmly and so openly, Jill, the ways that God has been at work in your life through exciting and positive times, through challenging times with your parents, and the influence that Tom had in sharing his relationship with God through Jesus Christ with you and your response to that. And it's just remarkable and wonderful to see the ways that God works and has worked in your life. And so today, as you come, we do have a few questions, and so if you want to just make your way here a little closer to the microphone. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Mm-hmm. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
And do you trust in him with all your heart?
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, God's help.
All right. So Tom and Noah, if you can come over. Lord God, we thank you today for your call upon Jill's life, for the ways that you have drawn her to yourself, or for the ways that she has said yes to that call. We celebrate that response and that call on her life this day. And we're grateful for the ways that you continue to speak in and through Jill's life. May this be a day that she can remember and mark as a place of commitment in front of this congregation. And may you use it to allow her light to shine in witness to the world around her of the difference that you have made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jill, Rachel Gallagher, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. May Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remind you this day of the commitment that has been made, of the call that God has placed on your life, of the seal that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the new life that you were invited into through the power of God's work. Amen. Amen. Jill, welcome to the family of faith. Amen.
All right, well, my name is Will Moreski. Professionally, I'm a therapist. I am married to Laura, who introduced me to Paoli. We just got married last year in September. Can't mess that date up or else I'd be in trouble already, right? I grew up Roman Catholic, so you know, that meant church every Sunday. I think, you know, it's definitely a different experience than I've had as an adult with church, because I think so much about, you know, church then was, you know, you go and you, this is something you have to do, and like, you know, you say the things that you have to say, you kind of learn that like this is the way that church is. We have to make sure that we're done in time so we can catch kickoff of the football game. And it's like, it's just like a regimented thing that you like, you know, that you do. That was until, you know, my family kind of went through a little bit of a difficult time. You know, my parents got divorced, which, you know, that was kind of hard enough in and of itself, but it also meant that at that point, like, my dad wasn't able to go and be a part of the church anymore. He was basically kicked out. And so, you know, that's when I first had my first like real negative experience with, you know, with religion and organized religion, at least. You know, I started to kind of think a little bit more about the whole belief system and realized, well, I don't know what I believe, but I know I don't believe that, because anybody that would abandon somebody during their most difficult time, like, that's not something that we might really want to be a part of. My mom's side, they were never really huge on church. She always believed that you didn't have to go anywhere in order to be able to talk to God. You could just close your eyes and he would kind of be right there. And so that was an interesting kind of faith for me. It was a connection, and I knew that she had a connection with God, but it was personal. And so I was kind of down with that, and just kind of went that route for, you know, like I said, the rest of the years until I kind of got to college. In 2017, I got a divorce and moved out to Ardmore and to the Main Line. And, you know, in the span of, 8-9 months, I lost my mom, I lost my job, I lost my wife. I lost basically everything, because I just didn't know how to handle everything that was going on. You know, the loss of my mom was really, really a traumatic experience for me, and I just didn't handle it in the right way. And so I knew I needed something. So being a therapist, I knew I needed to go to therapy, which I did, and that was a wonderful experience. But I needed something more and was looking for something more. And so I remember taking a shower, because, you know, all the best thinking goes on in the shower, right? But I remember being in there and closing my eyes and just talking to my mom in heaven and saying, you know what, this is like ridiculous. Like, I really just need to find like somebody who understands me and like really, like, you know, something that's real. And it was amazing, because, you know, within a day I had gotten a message from Laura, and I was like, well, that was cool. Like, and again, like I said, I definitely was using what my mom had always taught me, that you can kind of close your eyes and ask for those things. And I was certainly asking her, but I think I've learned later on that that was 100%, 110%, God intervening in there and being like, I got you. And I have been blessed throughout my entire life that without necessarily my knowing, he's provided for me and has jumped in and been able to do these like really amazing things and put me in these positions to be able to like have some growth and like make a change. So Laura is single-handedly the most important person spiritually, I can argue in many other ways also, but spiritually has had the greatest difference in my life by far, which finding that in a partner, we had some really open conversations and she was like, I think I know like a place where, you know, where it might be good for you to just like kind of roll in there. So she told me about this church down in the city, but I figured, what the heck? I mean, it can't hurt. And so I did. I walked into this church downtown and sat in the back row. And within like 5 minutes, maybe at most, I just started crying. And then I went back the next week and then kept kind of going back every week for about a month and a half before somebody there like came up to me and was like, hey, notice you in the back crying your way through service all the time. Like, how's that going? How's life going? And he was a cool dude. Like, he was somebody you could definitely, talk to. And so we did start talking. And, you know, at one point I had said, I hate God. Like, look at the things that happened in my life. Like, he took my mom away from me early and like, it was just awful. Like, I hate him for this. And he was like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And I was like, what? Like, shouldn't that have like been like the automatic like escort out the front door? And he's like, no, like we're all like broken. We've all got things that have happened in our life that like are traumatic and awful. And like, that's the point. Like, that's what you can talk to God about. And that was kind of the beginning of, my true adult spiritual journey that, again, I owe that all to Laura saying, hey, why don't you try this place out? I mean, if you look back at kind of the way we started talking about it, to come from where I came from and go through some of the experiences that I've been through to now being here, even being here talking about it on camera about how amazing this is, like, I'd say it's been a pretty eventful, last year here. And I don't know what the future is going to hold, and I don't even know what I want it to hold, but I do know that there's something there. And that if you just trust the journey, even if you don't understand it, like, it'll show up and you'll know. And in that moment, you can say, wow, like, thank you, God, for like putting this in my life and showing me what that way is.
So Will and Laura, we're really glad you're here. You can go right there. You're good. And you know that God has been holding your hand and God has been with you in every moment when you liked it and when you didn't, when you liked him and when you didn't. God loved you in every moment. And God put the right people and community and family in your life right when you needed them. God said yes to you, Will, in every moment. And I am so pleased, and God is so pleased, that you are saying yes to him. So I have some questions for you, Will. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its powers in the world? Do you?
I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
And do you trust in him with all your heart?
I do.
Getting me. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
I will, with God's help.
Let's pray together. God, thank you for your love for us that never, ever, ever ends. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that we can never do anything to make you say no to us, even if we try. Thank you for Will and his testimony. that you are a God of unending love. Thank you for Laura. Thank you for this new life growing in their family and the ways that you are going to use and bless all three of them in such beautiful ways. Thank you, God. Amen. So, Will, you have been baptized as a baby, and it is part of the Christian tradition to anoint with oil. Oil in Scripture is a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So remembering your baptism, I anoint you, sealing you with the Holy Spirit, with that sign and remembrance that you are God's beloved child, and you have been chosen, and you have been called to be Christ's faithful disciple from this day on, forever. Amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome Will.
Well, I'm Jeannie Michael, and I'm a dietitian. I work in a hospital right now, and I live in Exton. And I have two boys, Ryan and Drew, and Ryan's 21, and Drew will be 19 next month. I started coming to Paoli right before the pandemic hit. So I was able to visit once in person, and a couple of weeks later, everything kind of started hitting the fan. So I'm a little bit of a newbie, but it's been an amazing blessing in my life. So in terms of thinking about key moments in my life where I feel that God was present, I've been doing a lot of reflecting in the last year or so on my whole life. And I think really God has brought me people at key moments, you know, all the way back from when I was a child and needed a little extra protection, you know, somebody I just barely met and her three older brothers coming to stand behind me and offer me protection when I was confronted by a scary adult, you know, all the way to when we moved here about 7 years ago and I was, you know, we've been through a lot of moves and we knew nobody. I had a little note in my mailbox one day from a neighbor I hadn't met, and you know, she said, I was friends with a lady that used to live there, you know, maybe you and I can be friends, which was amazing. I mean, this was this person coming into my life. And later, you know, when I was going through the end of my marriage, this is a friend who would quote scripture to me and, you know, claimed me as her sister in Christ. You know, that's God. and finding PPC, especially when I did, you know, after the divorce and kind of being a little bit more on my own, a little bit of an empty nester, it's kind of crazy timing. And I have felt like every worship that I listen to is talking to just me. And I know that's not reality. I know that you and Jonathan, Beck and Jonathan, aren't sitting down and saying, what do I need to say to Jeannie Michael this week? but I feel like it's Jesus talking to me. So it's been huge, huge. Those are God moments. You know, the reason why I want to reaffirm my faith now is just this overwhelming sense of gratitude. I'm so grateful. I really, really am. And, you know, it's not to say that things are perfect or that bad things have not happened, because that's not the case. But what I've been able to do is see where God is too in all of that and know that I've not been abandoned and, you know, that there's really good reason to be hopeful and, you know, I even said in one of our classes, you know, even though sometimes I feel kind of like everything's a mess, I'm still so very grateful and feel that I'm growing closer to God, even in this toughest trial for me as an adult. So that's why I want to do this.
Jeannie, we welcome you to come forward. And I'm going to ask Jeff Roeke, who's the small group leader for the group that you're part of. We know that you have some family that are joining us via live stream. We want you to know you're not alone. Not only is God with you every day, as you recognized in your testimony there, but that we, your family of faith, are with you as well and want to be here and stand with you, not just today, but throughout life. It's been wonderful during this unprecedented year to see the ways that you've been able to connect here and the way we've been able to see God expressed through you and through the ways that you have expressed your faith and your commitment to the Lord. And so we're grateful for this opportunity today as you are coming, having been baptized as an infant, but coming today to affirm that faith and to once again publicly proclaim your belief and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we have a few questions for you as well. Jeannie, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
I do.
And who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Do you trust in him with all your heart?
I do.
And will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
Let's pray. Lord God, we are again this day grateful for your call upon Jeannie's life, the ways that you have been at work down through the years of her life, and particularly in these last few years of challenge and of transition and of places where in many ways Jeannie has felt in need particularly of your presence and of your peace, and you have been there. Lord God, as she comes today to publicly again affirm and make her commitment before you, we pray, Lord God, that you would bless that you would make full the call that you have placed upon her life. And Lord, that you would continue to give her a clear sense that she is not alone, but that you are with her, that you are guiding her and directing her. And Lord, that in the midst of that her life may be a witness of your love, of your care, and your concern. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jeannie Michael, I anoint you with oil today as a sign and an affirmation of your faith, of the call of God on your life, and the difference that God continues to make in and through you. May you recognize today as an opportunity to seal and to see the ways that the Holy Spirit has sealed your heart and life, your commitment to God, and the opportunity to be a disciple of Jesus Christ this day and each day forevermore. Amen. 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 Welcome. Welcome.
My name is Ava Rubert. I'm in sixth grade, and I go to Great Valley Middle School. Some things about me are I love to read, I take four dance classes a week, and I play the violin.
My name is Sawyer, and I'm in third grade at General Wayne, and I like playing the cello. I like playing in our playroom, and I like playing board games, also video games.
You play basketball too, right?
True, yes. Basketball too.
My grandparents, my dad's parents, have been working at Church of the Savior since,
I'm not sure,
maybe a couple decades. And
wow.
So we've kind of been a part of that church since when we were born.
Yeah.
So, we've been going to Sunday school for a really long time. Like, they have teachers there that, remember us that we don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't remember my teacher's name.
What do you remember about your mom being baptized?
Well, I remember standing on the stage and looking out at everybody. And when my mom was going into the pool to be, dunked in, the first thing I said was, why is mommy getting in the pool? Because, she's getting in the pool in the middle of a church service. And I knew church services were mainly people talking. Why was she getting into a pool? I didn't really know like what baptism was at that time. I didn't even know like what being baptized was, and I was just like standing off to the side with my dad while my brother was dedicated and my mom was baptized, and I was just like, what's happening? And now that I'm older, I know that like being baptized is, like I said, it's like when you're announcing publicly that you accepted God into your heart, and I didn't know that when I was like 2, so.
I don't remember anything, so.
Yes, you were like a couple months old. You probably don't remember any of it.
I did see someone get baptized at Marsh Creek. I remember seeing like maybe five people.
Yeah, and they were each like baptized by a different person. I think there was like 6 of them, and then like each person, and then there were 3 people, and each one baptized 2 of them.
Yeah, and I'm like, that was the day I got inspired that I wanted to be baptized. It means a lot to me because like nothing's better than God. And so like if I want to play a board game or like play a video game, nothing is better than God.
Like I feel like when, like before Jesus came down to earth, people thought they had to be baptized to go up to heaven and be with him. But now we know that all we have to do is accept Jesus into our heart, and we can go to heaven and be with God and Jesus. But I feel like still, I mean, you can accept people like Jesus into your heart and not have to tell anybody. But when you get baptized, usually it's in front of people and like people are watching, so they know like they've accepted God into their heart, and it's more like publicly announcing it. Well, I just feel like I've already accepted Jesus into my heart, and getting baptized, I just feel like something I should do.
Ava and Sawyer, you can come stand right here. Good job. I don't like to listen to myself talk either. Ava and Sawyer, you have known literally your whole lives long, even before you could remember it, that Jesus loves you. And you have such great witnesses in your parents of saying they said yes to the love that God has for them and Jesus, and you got to see them do that. And they've taught you guys to do the same. And now you're teaching other people who are watching you today say yes to Jesus, which is such a wonderful testimony that God uses everybody. That just because you're young doesn't mean you don't have something to say. And you guys have some beautiful things to say about Jesus' love for you. And so that's what you're doing today as you come to be baptized. So we have questions for you. You can answer together. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
And do you trust in him with all your heart?
I do.
And will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
I will, with God's help.
All right. Well, invite Dave and Mandy
over
to come on in and
just pray.
Lay hands on them as we pray together. Lord God, we are grateful today for the ways that you call each one of us, and particularly today, the ways that you have called Ava and the ways that you've called Sawyer. And we're grateful, Lord God, that they have responded to that call by saying yes to you and by committing themselves to follow in the path that you have laid before them. We are grateful, Lord God, that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins, and that in receiving that gift from you, they have opportunity to be in relationship with you this day. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless this commitment, bless their lives that are before them. May they be a witness in all that they do of the love, hope, and grace of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, Ava, you ready to go first? So you saw your mom go into a pool at church. So you get to do it, so you can come up the steps here, and we'll hold your hand. Mandy or Dave, do you want to help? Yep. So one of you on this side, right over here. Remember what we practiced? Which one do you want to, you can take your mask off.
Right.
There you go. I don't want to get that wet. You want to cross your arms there and plug your nose. Here, Dave, come stand right up here with me and hold your arm. We bend our knees. Ava, Lee, Rupert, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And now it's your turn, Sawyer. You can walk right up to here. And take your mask off there. Okay. Step down in there. Okay. Turn around this way. You know, cross your hands there. Okay. So James Sawyer Rupert, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amazing. Amen.
You guys can stay right here for a minute.
Oh my gosh, I feel like my heart is going to burst. What a happy day. I want to invite all the baptized this morning, all who were anointed to come forward. There's one more important thing we have to do today. And that's the rest of us in this congregation at Paoli Prez, we have some promises to make too. And so we're gonna do that together using the words that are up on the screen. Baptized and anointed folks, go ahead and come on forward. There you go. We wanna see all of your beautiful faces one more time. So brothers and sisters in Christ, we now receive these brothers and sisters into Christ's church. Will you welcome them in love? And will you promise to pray for them, to encourage them, and to help nurture them as together we follow the ways of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we will with God's help. We will with God's help. It sounded like they meant it. And there's one last thing we're going to do. Today we're concluding our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And as we've studied that document, we learned that going back to the very, very earliest centuries of the church's history, millennia ago, when Christians were baptized, they stood up in front of their new friends and their new family, and they recited the Apostles' Creed as a common confession of faith. And that's what we're all going to do right now. We're going to say the creed together as a reminder of what we hold in common with Christians of every tongue and tribe and nation. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Baptized and anointed, you may be seated. Friends in Christ, let's give them another round of applause.